puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Is there such a thing as Victorian virtual reality? Apparently there is. And Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us more about it. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about this week?
Well, we're considering a visual medium that over 100 years ago enabled Victorians around the world to see Manitoba in 3D. And we can still see that long-ago Manitoba thanks to stereo views created by three fellows named Duffin, Bingham, and Tom.
So what is a stereo view?
Well, it's typically a thick cardboard mount bearing two photographs side by side. Well, in fact, I brought a few samples here in the studio for you to
look at. Okay, I was wondering what this was. Okay.
And basically, the idea is that you have two photos that match what your eye sees of the world around you. And when you view them in a device called a stereoscope, the photos merge into a single image that appears to be three-dimensional. Now, stereoscopy was pioneered by an English physicist named Charles Wheatstone in the mid-1800s, and it was improved by a fellow named David Brewster. Brewster exhibited his technology at the 1851 International Exhibition at London, England. And one of the visitors to exhibit was none other than Queen Victoria herself. Now, she was reportedly so enchanted by the 3D imagery that Brewster immediately gifted her with a stereoscope. And of course, anything that the Queen does, everybody else wants to do too. And so it kicked off, well, basically a worldwide craze for these views of all sorts of places around the world. By the 1870s, it seemed that every photographer was taking stereo views, and we can usually identify that photographer from their name that is printed on the cardboard mount. So you'll see, for example, on the ones that I'm showing you here, that they've stamped on the sides of them that'll say things like stereoscopic views of the city of Winnipeg by F.V. Bingham.
So this is really cool what you're handing me here, because they're all pictures of local historic buildings. So we're talking about photographers in Manitoba too, presumably.
Absolutely. You know, as far as I know, the first photographers to take stereo views here in Manitoba were the men of the International Boundary Commission, who surveyed the line separating Canada and the U.S. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. They were accompanied by photographers, and there are several stereo views in the collection of surviving photos taken by the commission during its work. One particularly striking stereo view shows two photographers sitting by their tent, preparing chemicals and sheets of glass for use in the wet plate photographic process that was popular at the time. Perhaps the first resident stereographer here in Manitoba in the early 1870s was a fellow named Simon Duffin. He arrived in Winnipeg in 1873 and began selling a wide variety of stereo views. But he didn't last long. He quit photography in 1888 and instead sold photographic supplies until he died here in Winnipeg in 1900. Now, I have a personal collection of stereo views, and I have eight Duffins in that collection. But in fact, I don't need a stereoscope to view them in 3D.
So how do you view the stereo views to get a 3D effect?
Well, there is an easy way to do it without using hardware. You hold the stereo view away from yourself about 30 to 40 centimeters, and then you cross your eyes. At first, you're going to see three images, which should eventually merge into a single 3D image. Now, it does take practice, and you know, some people just never manage to do it, but despite what your mother told you, crossing your eyes in this way will not make them stay that way.
It's working, Gordon. I'm doing it right now. It does take practice, though, because we're not
indeed
used to doing it. Okay.
It does, yeah.
So that is Simon Duffin. The other names on your list were Bingham and Tom. What about them?
Well, Duffin left a number of great stereo views as his legacy, but it was Bingham and Tom who contributed, either alone or in partnership with each other, the largest numbers of stereo views of 19th century Manitoba.
Let's start with Fred Bingham. Who was he?
He was an American, born in Minnesota around 1855, and he began working as a photographer in the late 1870s. He came to Manitoba in early 1881, just as Winnipeg was beginning to boom, because the Canadian Pacific Railway had just arrived, the construction gangs were all over the place, and the city was literally transforming from a sleepy fur trade post to basically the first huge city in Western Canada. And I suspect that Bingham simply wanted to be there to document the action. He produced many stereo views, probably more than any other of the early Manitoba photographers, and unfortunately not all of them are known to survive today, but I have 30 Bingham stereo views in my collection, taken in Brandon, in Emerson and Winnipeg, mainly of things like buildings, bridges, and panoramic scenes of Winnipeg. There is one here, for example, taken from the top of a mill, where you can see in the distance a whole bunch of houses, and of course, not at all like today, because the houses are far apart, and there's virtually no trees, because at that time, Winnipeg was on an open plain. It wasn't until much later that we had, of course, the magnificent trees that we have all over the city today.
What happened to Fred Bingham?
Well, he didn't confine his work to views of Manitoba. He traveled along the finished Canadian Pacific Railway, taking views as far east as Thunder Bay, what was known at the time as Port Arthur, and as far west as Banff. In the late 1880s, he moved to British Columbia. Then, in 1890, he'd returned to the United States, where he worked as a photographer in Wisconsin and Nebraska. After years of life on the road, basically as an itinerant photographer, by 1895, Bingham had settled down to a quiet life in San Francisco. And there, like Duffin, he sold photographic supplies and lived to a ripe old age in 1929.
Okay, so we've covered Duffin, Fred, and that leaves us with Tom.
Indeed. And he's described as one historian as being among the most artistic and professional photographers in Western Canada in the 1880s and 1890s. He took a lot of photos along the Canadian Pacific Railway, but it doesn't seem as many in Manitoba, at least not stereo views. I do have several of his stereo views of the Rocky Mountains and of railway construction gangs at unidentified spots out on the prairies, but I have just two from Manitoba, although I have to say, one is a great view looking inside the gate of Upper Fort Garry, showing the original government house. That was the resident of our lieutenant governor at the time. I brought it along here this morning. An interesting detail about Tom is that until a few years ago, we didn't know who he was.
What do you mean?
Well, the stamp on his stereo views say A.B. Tom. And for many years, historians thought he was Adam Bissett Tom, a son of a fellow named Adam Tom, who was an early judge in the Red River Settlement. This A.B. Tom had been born in 1843, here in Manitoba, and this would have made him the first native-born photographer in Manitoba. However, after a lot of digging, I was able to prove these historians wrong. A.B. Tom was actually Ontario-born Alexander Barton Tom. He arrived in Manitoba slightly before Fred Bingham in late 1880 with plans to open a photographic studio at a place called Nelsonville. And if that doesn't ring any bells, well, it's a ghost town today that was ultimately abandoned in favor of Morden. Nelsonville became Morden. Now, like Bingham, Tom took a huge number of photos along the Canadian Pacific Railway, but unlike Bingham, Tom stayed here in Canada, operating studios at Stonewall, at Carmen, at Regina, Brandon, and Wawanisa, and eventually he settled down on a farm south of St. Claude. He died in 1926 at a retirement home in Charleswood that's actually not very far from my home. And I've always wondered, gee, if I had a time machine, I could go back and introduce myself to this fellow.
So all Manitoba stereo views were taken by these three fellows?
Well, there were two or three other stereo view photographers from the 1870s or 1880s, but they were usually here for only short visits. There was a fellow named F.J. Haynes, for example, that was here just for a few days, and they just didn't produce the quantity or the diversity of photos made by Duffin, Bingham, and Tom. And so I would say then it's really these three men to which we are indebted, because they basically give us a rare insight, you know, a three-dimensional view of Manitoba, you know, basically shortly after it became a province.
I'm really glad that you brought some of these stereo views into the studio. Is there a way that the audience, the listeners, can see some of these pictures that you've described today?
Oh, indeed. We have several stereo views by Duffin, Bingham, Tom, as well as a few others, on the Manitoba Historical Society website. And I also show there how someone can use computer software to turn a stereo view into an image that you can look at with those red, blue 3D glasses. You know, the kind that people used to go into theaters to watch movies with? And if you have a pair laying around, well, then you can look at some of these images we have on the website that way as well. So if you want to look at some stereo views, go to mhs.mb.ca/stereo views, and you'll see all sorts of them there.
I was skeptical about Victorian virtual reality, but you convinced me, Gordon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
We're going to talk about an abandoned educational facility in Manitoba's Boreal Forest and the eccentric fellow who operated it.
Thanks, Gordon.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.